Traders who came back to work this morning at the New York Stock Exchange need to sign on the dotted line. I'm David Brancaccio. With motherboards and hard drives doing the bulk of stock trading these days, the reopening about 20 minutes ago of the trading floor at the New York Stock Exchange for the first time in 2 months is at least in part about symbolism. Let's get more on the safety rules and issues of legal liability if someone were to get sick. Alexander Osipovich of the Wall Street Journal joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So, Alex, you go down there during normal times. I go down there. That floor is not busy like it used to be anyway. But what do you think? It'll be quieter still with the new rules from today?
Yes, it'll be quieter still. The number of traders who are there is going to be about one quarter what you usually have. And you won't have the traders who are in the middle of the floor, the ones called designated market makers. You only have the ones around the edges, the floor brokers.
Around the edges. What else are they going to do?
So the traders will have to wear masks. There have been plexiglass barriers that have been set up in some places to shield them from each other. And there are going to be markings on the floor as well as outside the exchange to help enforce social distancing.
And there's going to be body temperature checks to be sure people have no fever. Okay, but we're told, you know, asymptomatic people can walk around shedding virus. So what is it, like a questionnaire for people coming in the building then?
Yes, essentially, when people come in, they'll have to submit to temperature checks, and they'll also have to tell the NYSE that they have not been exposed to anybody with COVID-19 in the past 2 weeks, that they didn't take public transportation to get there, and a number of other conditions.
And here's the thing. What, you have to sign a release if you're going to go into the New York Stock Exchange, that if you get sick, you won't sue the exchange?
Yes. Floor traders will be required to sign an individual waiver. If they want to go back to their jobs, they need to sign a document saying that they won't sue the NYSE or its affiliates. They need to acknowledge they understand the risks of going back to the floor, which could include death or respiratory failure or the chance of infecting their families with COVID-19.
Wow. I mean, you're hearing any pushback about that?
Most floor traders are expected to sign this document. There are a few firms that employ floor traders that do not want to send their people back to the floor because they're balking at a parallel document that the New York Stock Exchange is requiring them to sign. The firms that employ floor traders, which are various banks and brokerages, need to indemnify the NYSE against certain lawsuits, meaning they might end up having to pick up the tab in case the NYSE gets sued.
The Wall Street Journal's Alexander Osipovich, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me, David.
The markets. The Dow is up 606 points in early trading, about 2.5%. S&P 500 up 1.9%. The NASDAQ Composite is up 1.4%. Why? Because there is a sense, at least, that the worst of the lockdowns are behind us. We often start the week by getting a read from economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you make of this bounce?
Well, there's a lot of optimism in the market, as you note, and it's global. It's not just a U.S. phenomenon, and there seems to be kind of a best-case scenario being priced in, that the worst is behind us, and we're going to move forward in a pretty linear way with the reopenings and the restarting of the economy.
Well, I mean, psychology is an important part of markets, and I suppose that's nice, but psychology isn't everything when you're talking about a pandemic.
That's right. We still have this looming uncertainty of the disease that got us here in the first place and how it evolves and whether this reopening process actually reinitiates another wave of infection. Many unknowns, the vaccines, et cetera, lie ahead of us. So, for the moment, we are sticking to the optimistic scenario, but there are many other possible paths.
How much credence do you give it when companies come out with their last quarterly results, but also look forward and try to make predictions about the rest of the year? I mean, we seize on those, but should we take them seriously?
Well, you know, a lot of companies, a significant number of companies have actually stopped providing guidance, and that leaves analysts having to just really, truly guess. And the guesses that they're making are optimistic. So right now, if you look at analysts' earning expectations, they're expecting the decline in earnings this year to be more than made up next year, which is a very V-shaped recovery for earnings, which is not generally what economists are expecting in the real economy.
Always good to talk to Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I want to point out an interesting phenomenon in home price data that was out this morning. This covers March, the month the lockdowns began. Many folks apparently stopped showing their homes for sale, given virus concerns. And for those who really were looking to buy, the supply of homes shrunk. That pushed up home price index that's out today, 3.9%, the biggest jump in a year. This Case-Shiller data covers home prices in 20 metro areas. We know separately that the number of homes sold fell nearly 9% in March and fell 18% in April. The German government has agreed to pay $10 billion to keep the country's flagship airline from collapsing. Lufthansa had already closed down its budget subsidiary, German Wings, given the COVID downturn in travel. In return, the German government will now own 20% of the airline, which it plans to sell in 3 years to get some of its money back. Here's the BBC's Andrew Walker.
The German economy ministry said that before the international health crisis, Lufthansa was an operationally healthy company, that it was profitable and it has good prospects. That has not been enough, however, to protect the business from the severe commercial blow it and other airlines have been dealt by the pandemic. The German government is stepping in to see the company through the crisis with financial support that includes partly nationalising it, though it says it will be a silent partner, which means it plans to stay out of most business decisions. The package will need to be approved under European state aid rules. The European Commission has already cleared the rescue of another leading European airline, Air France KLM.
Andrew Walker is with our editorial partner, the BBC. The Dow is up 592 points now, 2.4%. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.